States may be ready to settle with lenders over abusive foreclosure practices.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today is the deadline for states to sign on to a settlement with the nation's largest banks over abusive foreclosure practices. The deal would reportedly force banks to pay billions of dollars to people who lost their homes. But several states, including New York and California, have yet to officially sign on. To explain what's at stake, we're joined live now by Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, first, just remind us what this settlement is all about.
Well, it's about robo-signing. You may remember that term from last year. The banks were caught cutting corners. They didn't check the details of foreclosure filings, really a whole range of abuses. Now a deadline's coming up today for states to sign on to a deal that's been worked out to help the homeowners who were foreclosed on, and also homeowners who are behind on their mortgages and are facing foreclosure. This could amount to as much as $25 billion for well over 1.5 million homeowners. That would work out to roughly $2,000 apiece for people who actually lost their homes.
And Mitchell, why has it gone on so long? These settlement talks, why are they taking so long?
Well, in two words, California and New York. Both of their attorneys general didn't like giving up the possibility of prosecuting bankers later once this whole issue is fully investigated. They also wanted to make sure that the money went to the hardest hit homeowners and that safeguards are adequate so that the banks don't do this going forward. Reports out this morning say the settlement's been spruced up a little more to their liking, so they may be closer to signing on now. Here's Peter Morisi from the University of Maryland.
It entails a lot of relief to homeowners who are behind on their mortgages and facing foreclosure. Many foreclosures will go forward if this agreement is signed. However, we can expect that some bankers for gross misdeeds may be prosecuted.
And freeing up the foreclosure mill again, of course, is why the banks want this to happen. They put a lot of foreclosures on hold, and this could let them clear up their balance sheets.
All right. We'll watch to see what happens. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
We'll get quarterly earnings today from Yum Brands. That's the company that owns KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut. It is, of course, easy to find one of those restaurants in the United States where there are 20,000 of them. Same goes for China, where Yum has 4,000 restaurants. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai.
Yum Brands opens one restaurant every 18 hours in China. It plans to continue that growth in 2012, despite fears that China's economic growth may sputter a little.
They have a bet on China urbanization.
James McGregor is a senior counselor at APCO Worldwide in Beijing. He says the parent company of KFC is looking beyond a slip in economic growth to China's rapidly changing demographics.
Is China going to urbanize more and more? And of course it's going to. We're talking, what, 20, 25 million people supposed to move to the cities every year? And this is a middle-class meal.
But there are more fast food chains offering that middle-class meal than ever in China. That's why Yum has maintained an aggressive strategy. A couple of months ago, it took over Little Sheep, one of China's largest hot pot restaurant chains. McGregor says there's no doubt that more competition will decrease Yum's market share in China, but he says the company's profits will continue to grow. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Ford is not in a celebratory mood this morning after its rival General Motors aired an aggressive commercial during the Super Bowl. The ad takes place after an apocalypse, which a bunch of Chevy truck drivers have survived, but not their friend Dave.
Where's Dave?
Dave didn't drive the longest lasting, most dependable truck on the road. Dave drove a Ford.
Ouch. Ford wants the ad pulled, arguing that insurance industry figures prove Ford makes the safer truck. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up about 1% in Tokyo, down about 0.4% right now in London, as negotiations continue in Greece, which is up against a March deadline to finalize a new package of cuts in order to get more money from international lenders. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed up 156 points at 12,862. That is the highest close since May of 2008.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Missouri is holding its presidential primary tomorrow, and turnout is expected to be extremely low. That is in part because the votes won't count, even though the primary is going to cost taxpayers millions of dollars. Maria Altman of St. Louis Public Radio explains.
Like most states, Missouri has a big budget shortfall. Right now, it's about $500 million.
Yeah, you can make it $507 million.
State Senator Kevin Engler says it's a waste to spend an estimated $7 million on Missouri's primary. The Republican pushed legislation to cancel the election, but didn't get enough support.
When you have people that stand up and rally for the right for the people and about how it's so important they get to vote, knowing that their votes won't matter, they should be embarrassed.
Missouri's primaries usually do matter. But this year, the national GOP said only a few states could hold elections before March or they'd lose delegates. When an effort to move the Missouri primary failed, the state's GOP decided to hold caucuses in mid-March.
So the delegates from Missouri would count.
Political scientist Ken Warren.
But on the other hand, they haven't canceled the primary, so we're still holding really a totally worthless primary.
The head of Missouri's Republican Party, Lloyd Smith, disagrees. He says the primary's winner will still get lots of attention.
And anytime you're able to get your name out in a positive way, it has an impact on those people who will ultimately go to the caucuses.
But Smith says caucus goers don't have to go along with what happens in the primary. In St. Louis, I'm Maria Altman for Marketplace.
And finally, how low can you go? That is the question a British composer is asking in his search for someone who can sing the lowest note ever sung before for his new choral composition. According to the BBC, this is the note he's looking for. If you can't hear that, it's not you, it's your speakers, which may not be able to play a sound that low. But if you can sing it, you might have a new career ahead of you. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.